happens to all of us at some stage that we just look forward to having a rest. Maybe you've had a really busy week and you look forward to that Saturday where you can just chill out, do what you want to do. Maybe it's been a busy day in the garden and you just look forward to the end of the day, putting your feet up, cup of tea, having a rest. All of us look forward to that sort of rest in some way, at some time. And then we read in the Bible that God created and on that seventh day rested. Did he have a sore back? Been doing that creating thing for 6 days, heavy going, tired, hadn't slept properly. Busy week. None of that really holds true with the God that we read of in the Bible, because the God of whom we read in the Bible is the God who is all-powerful. He doesn't tire. So it must mean more than simply putting your feet up with a cuppa. Let's rest. Important though that is, good though that is. The rest that God went into on that day was nothing to do with just stretching those weary bones. It was stopping and relaxing in that perfection. He's complete. He doesn't have to strive anymore to be complete. He is complete in himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this triune God, this Sunday, if we followed the church calendar, this Sunday is Trinity Sunday, when we remember our God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is complete, perfect. Doesn't need to be rejuvenated by having a weekend off. He relaxes. He enjoys that perfection. And the amazing thing is that he called you and I to enter into that rest. To set aside all of the striving and struggling that we do day by day, set it aside and experience my rest. This passage which Robert read for us a couple of minutes ago, as you read through it, there are two words that just come up again and again, and the two words are rest and enter. And as you read through it, you should get the clue that God wants you to enter into his rest. It's just repeated right through that passage. God wants you to experience his rest. It's not something that just happened a long time ago. We read in this passage of Joshua leading God's people into the Holy Land, this promised land, where they would suddenly, eventually we've got here. There was that rest. That's not what God is calling us to be part of, although we can learn a lot from that. There is that rest which is to come, that rest which is perfect. And so we sing with thankful hearts for all the saints who from their labors rest. There is a rest to come. But there's also something to experience here and now. Our salvation is complete. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, there's nothing that you and I need to do to finish off our salvation, to complete our salvation. Jesus has done it. Which means that you and I don't have to struggle. Jesus has done it, so we don't have to wonder, am I good enough for God? Have I done enough for God? Have I earned enough brownie points during my life for God? We don't have to struggle or strive with that because Jesus has done it. The answer is, we are not good enough. We will never do enough. We will never gather up enough loyalty points to win God's approval. Jesus has done it. So we can enter into his rest. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's of Jesus. If you are in Christ, God looks at you and he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see, well, Isaiah talks about us wearing filthy rags. He doesn't see that. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. So we're not struggling and striving to get our own lives right and put ourselves right. Jesus has done that. Jesus has made payment for our sins. That's been fully paid for. We don't have to wonder if our lives have been good enough for that. The Bible simply says God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. God has done that. We don't have to struggle and strive with it. We are completely loved by our Heavenly Father. We don't have to wonder, does God really love me? We're set free from that. We can rest in the fact that you are completely loved, unconditionally loved by your Heavenly Father. We can rest in that fact. We are kept by his grace. How much time do we spend worrying and being anxious about every moment of every day? And we are kept by God's grace, his unfailing grace. He provides all that we need. We can carry all of our burdens to him, leave them at his feet, cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. We can do that. We can set ourselves free from that. We can spend our lives in serving him. And when you begin to think about all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we have found rest for our souls when we trust in him. That's a remarkable thing. I think it was Augustine who said, we are restless until we find our rest, our peace in Jesus. We know that there's something more. We know that there's something else. We know that we're never going to quite make that mark. We know it, and that's why we struggle. That's why we strive in life. And Jesus has done it for us, so that we can have rest in him. This is the Jesus who gives us this gracious invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's his invitation. Jesus is saying, I know you need rest. I know you're weary. I know you're burdened. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your bones, your sore back. You will find rest for your souls. This is God's rest. Rest for your souls. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in the message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Burnt out on trying to tick all the boxes, trying to do everything right, trying to keep all the rules and the regulations? Are you burnt out? Are you weary? Are you tired? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest, says Jesus. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. A lovely phrase. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the invitation of Jesus, to come, not at some future date, not way back then, but now, here. Each moment that God gives you, to come to Jesus and find in him your true rest. How much different life would be for us if we did that? Occasionally going through life, you meet someone for whom that is so obviously true. I'm sure you can think of people. I can think of people who have crossed my paths down through the years, and you just know. You just know that they are in Christ because they are so at peace. They just show that rest. That's what Jesus calls us to come and enjoy. But it doesn't mean that we will simply sit back and wait for everything to happen to us and for us. That's not what God's rest is about. A lovely phrase that I've used over the years, and I can't even remember where I first heard it, but it's always been a challenge to me. And this is it. God has done that which you cannot do so that you may be free. That's why Jesus died, to set you free. You could never do that on your own. Jesus died so that you may be free. God has done that which you cannot do so that you may be free. God will not do that which you can do so that you may grow. And we should be in the business of growing. We should be in the business of maturing and developing day by day. Not sitting back waiting for God to do it to us and do it for us, but growing as he leads us and guides us day by day. God rested from the work of creation. When we trust in Jesus, we stop trying to save ourselves. We rest in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. That's where we find our rest. But this passage also calls us to make every effort to enter into that rest. Make every effort. Again, it's not a call to earn our salvation. We can't do that. It's a reminder to enter by faith. All through this passage, it speaks of the fact that some people didn't enter into the rest that God had for them because they'd simply been disobedient. Again, going back to those folks brought out of slavery in Egypt, set free, God calls them to obedience, and they're not obedient to him, and they don't enter into the rest he has for them. We need to be so careful. Make every effort to enter into that rest. The last few verses of this passage are, well, they're both comforting and challenging. They're about God's word, which cuts through absolutely everything in our lives and gets to the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. When we read God's word properly, it's not a comfortable thing because it should challenge us. If we worship God, if we seek to be like Jesus, if we read God's word, if we spend time in prayer and we are not challenged, something is missing. Because this is the holy God who is calling us to be holy as he is holy. To be obedient to his call upon our lives. We are very good at concealing what goes on in our heads and our hearts. People around us, even the people who are closest to us, may not know all that's going on in our heads and hearts. We may even deceive ourselves. But what these last couple of verses point out to us is, one, God's word gets through all that nonsense and touches us where we need to be touched, challenges us where we need to be challenged. And nothing is hidden from God's sight. In some ways, that's a comfort. God knows your pain. God knows your anxiety. God knows your heartache. God knows those things. And again, that verse, cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. God knows. And that's a comfort. But it's also a challenge. Because God knows where you and I are being disobedient. And that's the area where he calls us to come and find rest in him. Maybe we're just still not at that point where we trust completely in Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus, I trust Jesus, but I need to work this out myself. I need to make sure everything, no. We need to trust him, to be obedient to him. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. And that's why we have this need for obedience and trust. And those two things are closely linked together, obedience and trust. I haven't sung the chorus for years and years. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So it's not only about back then. It's not only about in the future. Every day counts. Every day counts in our becoming more and more like Jesus. Every day counts in entering into that rest that Jesus has for us. Every day counts in growing more like him. Bach, whenever he wrote beautiful music, would scribble at the top of his manuscript, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. To God alone be the glory. We should be able to write that at the end of every day. The end of each of your days, SDG, to God alone be the glory. At the end of our lives, to sign off, to God alone be the glory. Every day counts. We're called to experience that rest, that peace today. Again, this passage has that thought of any day that you can call today is the day that you should be resting in Christ. So if you wake up in the morning and you think what day it is, and that happens increasingly, if you can call it today, that's the day that you need to enter into God's rest. That's the day that you need to experience the peace that Christ alone has won for you. And to him alone, be all honor and glory. As the band come up to lead us, let's pray together. Father, you know the things which would rob us of that rest and that peace which you have for us. You know, Lord, the things that concern us. You know the areas where we are disobedient to your will. And so we pray that that restlessness that we feel would not cease until we find our rest in Christ. And there, Lord, help us to stay so that we may serve and honor you wherever you place us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Yeah.